if you want something that's good and hot, just eat a hamburger, it'll hit the spot. You can see them on the griddle going flippity-flop. Makes you want to do the boogie to the hamburger hop.
It's the Montreal Burger Report with your hosts,
Chris, Zeke, Pan, and
Rick Fiddlestein.
Just ain't nothing finer, nothing that's quite so new, than jigging it with them to the sizzling rhythm like the burgers always do.
Good day, and welcome to episode 93 of the Montreal Burger Report. Where our heroes had just finished a disappointing meal at Le Jolie Food. Listen today to hear how David Ferguson, the owner and chef of Le Jolie Food, explains what went wrong and how our hero's meal turned into a horror show.
Yeah, you know, and the funny thing is, afterwards we were talking and it turned out that the wrong dye was being used in the meat grinding.
Say hello to Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, I was just going to say, Ellen got the littlest cut on her finger. Mm-hmm. Doesn't do anything about it because we have children who are sick, this, that. It gets infected. Eventually she has to go to the hospital because her hand's infected. Mm-hmm. 5 days in the hospital.
Hey.
Solid. They even had lines on her hand to ready to operate, to open. She had plastic surgeons consulting to slice open each finger to clean out the infection. Mm-hmm. It went into her tendons. So she's out for 5 days. And I just had a bunch of turnover in the restaurant. And so it's just, the thing about it is that cooking is all about variables. Mm-hmm. And what you try to do when you're trying to make something really great is that you have to allow a little bit of chance in there, mm-hmm. in order to make it fresh. To make it unique, mm-hmm. to make it different, right? So you can see, like, if the avocado's not ripe, if the sauce is cold, if the meat's not ground right, same burger, mm-hmm. goes a totally different yep. direction, right? Problem with that is that you have to be there all the mm-hmm. time. You can't leave. Yeah. So, it was a perfect storm with mm-hmm. new staff on the floor. So anyway, doesn't happen very often, mm-hmm. but when you're a mom and pop place, if mom's yes. not there, mm-hmm. pop's at home with the kids.
Zeke here. Technique is extremely important when making your hamburger patties.
It's best to use a Kraft peanut butter container mm-hmm. lid. And we do a 6 ounce burger, and we just press it down. I don't like over packing it. I find that makes the burger a little too dense, and it curls up a lot. So just sort of pack it down. The thing I like about the shape of the patty is that sometimes you find that you go and you end up, you get a ball, like sometimes they pack it around mm-hmm. and it tightens up because they mm-hmm. packed it a lot, so the meat, what's happened there is the meat's built up gluten, mm-hmm. and so as it gets hot, it pulls it together, and they end up all, and then it's hard to garnish.
I'm so all down tonight, just around.
I mean, like, that's why burger meats, processed burger meats, are the most dangerous. And opposed to, like, people would think, well, you know, they're grinding up and passing sausages in a big plants and stuff like that. The difference is that sausages were always designed to be for long-term preservation. So you have the drying in there, you have the maybe the saltpeter or whatever you're doing to it, and there's usually some kind of curing or smoking process. Just doing a burger, it's just still yes. raw meat. Mm-hmm. It's like basically saying, okay, I'm gonna make you tartare, I'm gonna put it in the freezer, leave it there for 3 months and pull it out, and now you eat it. Mm-hmm. you're not going to. Where the inspiration for this burger comes from is in 99 or 2000, I guess, about 10 years ago, I worked in an internship down in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Mark Miller's, back then he was quite famous, chef, sorry, to learn how to do Southwestern cooking. And there's a diner on the way out of town called the Horseman's Haven. And it took me a while when I got there to sort of get into the heat, because they like it hot down there. But once I did it, I finally, about the third week I was there, I went and ate this place. Somebody said, oh, you got to go eat a burger here. And they had, and down there they have, basically they just say red or green. And that is a red salsa or a green salsa. And this green salsa is being made with tomatillos. So we go to this burger joint, and in the burger, all it is a hamburger, salsa verde, and poblano, big slab of poblano on it. And by that time, I was able to take the heat of the poblano, because there they were a bit hotter than here, and it was just the most awesome, awesome thing. So I knew that when we decided to change the restaurant into a more casual place, and that when we were considering putting a burger on, I right away knew that this was going to be my inspiration for it. Sorry, there's the brisket. So this, the brisket, we smoke it for 3 hours with hickory. We just put salt and pepper. And I was really surprised when I went down to Texas that they almost, except for one place, they would do everything with just salt and pepper. I was expecting to see these big long rubs or putting it in brines and this and that. Nope, salt and pepper into the smoker. And so we do salt and pepper, and then we smoke it for 3 hours, and then we cook it, as you saw, in a bit of a steam bath with a cover for about 17, 18 hours. And the way you check it if it's ready or not is you just have no resistance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At some point I would get a course on how to become a food photographer. It's a whole other line of business.
Mm-hmm. You can't believe how often people pull out cameras now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the industry for 23 years or something, and I never saw that until the last few years. And I guess now every cell phone's a camera. So this is a strong cheddar, just mm-hmm. a good strong cheddar. We use an egg bun, and the deal with for myself was if I didn't find a bun I really wanted.
C-H-I-G-N-O-N, chignon. That is a fancy French way of saying bun.
Then I wasn't going to, I was going to make them myself. Fortunately, I found one because it's, you know, we already do our own bread. To have another bread going on in the restaurant was going to be a bit much. But there's this bagel, a place called Isaac's Bagels, mm-hmm. that just on Belle Chasse, it's commercial, and they have a beautiful egg kind of Kaiser. And what I like about it is that by the time you're getting to the end of it, it's starting to disintegrate a bit in your hands. I like that. And this works right till about the last bite, and then that's it. So, now, the salsa verde. So, actually, he's making the salsa verde right now, Mike. Mm-hmm. And so we got the tomatillos that we're roasting in a dry pan with the husks on. And what that's doing is that it's imparting the smokiness of the toasting of the husk mm-hmm. into the flavor of the tomatillo. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how they would do it in Mexico and New Mexico. They cook it on a thing called a canal, and it's like they cook everything in it. And so they would just throw your tomatoes in there and roast it at very, very high heat. And then the same with the tomatillos. So, and 9 times out of 10 or more, actually, I don't even know if Mexicans would ever eat a tomatillo raw. But we do. We will use them in gazpachos and things like that for modern cooking. So that gets some roasted. It gets some roasted garlic, olive oil, salt, pepper, and if you're serving it up straight, you would add the poblano straight into it and coriander. But we're going to put the poblano on top of the burger.
And you get your vegetables from the Beery Brothers as well?
In the summer, yeah, in the summer for sure. And they have a great chili selection, and that's what really got me going there a lot. In the winter, We get some things for choice things from them. Mm-hmm. It's just because I like going to the market. Mm-hmm. You know, they're great people though. You can talk to them, and this is one of the things that you learn as you go along in chefing and whatever, is that your suppliers are a massive wealth of information for you, and you should listen to them, you know, because they know what they're doing. Sometimes you'll have poblano is a really funny chili, and it's even usually marked as being either three or a three or a six or seven on the, because you get one field right beside the other field is hot and the other field's not. It's really incredible. It's a very funny chili. All right, so we're gonna start building this now. A bit of mayonnaise, just on the bottom. Bit more on the top. Salsa verde. So the salsa verde is in a sense taking over from a relish and tomato at the same time. It's got such a great flavor.
I find it interesting that you put them on both the bottom and the top.
Yeah, it just makes it all more wet. Not just with burgers, but with everything in food, I believe food should be wet. So here's now your brisket going on top. Got a nice piece of poblano here. Just warm up for a second. And then avocado. Big, big fan of avocado.
I like the fact that the microphones are pointing at you. Nobody hears me eating. This is where the burger architecture comes in. We're trying to figure out, okay, so what part gets squished out, and half the fun is getting messy.
Yeah.
But it's also then the sort of thing of saying, what do I do? How do I handle this?
Yeah. I'm so all the hand
and I just around. Now that is very, very good. Very, very nice.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's sort of thing, the combination of flavors. That's one of the advantages of having it come out like that is, yes, you can get the meat, but then the combination of flavors between the poblanos, the salsa verde, the avocado, although there, the cheese is getting a little bit lost.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing that, yeah, I'm going to either have to concentrate more or catch that in. And I really like the beef there. It is... Yeah, personally, it's delicious. As I've been doing more and more burgers, I tend to go as minimalist as possible. And so it's sort of like, okay, so we have one topping, whether it's the cheese, whether it's the bacon, whether it's the pickle.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, trying to deal with all of this, it's like, as I said, I like the combination of the poblanos and the salsa verde and the avocado. I'm just not used to it.
Yeah. Well, maybe by the end of it. Now here's
Yeah. Where'd the brisket go?
It's in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving around.
Yeah. You're getting the smokiness of the brisket? You will get it like it's in the
There it is.
Yeah. Now another flavor's kicking in.
That it's the poblano has a nice kick to it.
Yeah.
It's not overpowering, but it's enough that it's there in a subtle way.
One of the things that you have to learn when you start working with poblanos, is that it can be a three or a six.
One, two, three, four.
Mm-hmm. So, if you're say 1 week, it's the box of poblanos that we have in is a lighter, but then you have to put more. Mm-hmm. If it's then the next week it can be super strong, mm-hmm. and you have to pull back the other way and everything.
No, I'm never going to have to get work to come back here because she was completely wrong.
I always serve this on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a thing about onions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of big, chunky onions in the burgers. Mm-hmm. I find that it's just too overpowering. So this is a pickled onion, red onions pickled that we serve on the side. And half the time people just eat it straight out of the container.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing where, that's also one thing I notice in here is you don't have anything that really has any crunch.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing, it's all very...
Yeah.
And that obviously is deliberate.
Yeah.
Why do you not want any sort of...
I don't know. I just, for me, that's, I like I say, the crunch of the onion,
mm-hmm.
I find that knocks out every other flavor. And
well, it, not necessarily the crunch at the end, but something like, in terms of a bun with maybe a slightly harder crust. Or
the thing with the bun is that, like, if you see right now, you're cutting to the end of the bun, and you have that kind of compression that's happening, and it's just like, it's like sloppy sex, sort of. At the end of the day, we're kind of like very hedonistic about food, and and one of the things that draws me towards making a hamburger is that it can get wet. It can get, you have to roll up your sleeves, as we write on the, we write on the menu. And that it was something that we could just go full on into. And that's, I mean, and so the bun, like I say, it had I love that quality when it gets down to it. And I think that's what happens also with the Diallo bun. It's even more so. The bun, the actual burger even starts falling apart.
Now we have a thing where we talk about crumble factor.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of thing of trying to figure out, okay, so this one, to me, it's where if it's just the just ground beef within the salt and pepper put on as you're cooking, then it's the sort of thing you will get little bits and pieces that fall out by adding the salt in before it gets cooked. It's the sort of thing that it holds it together much.
Yeah, and also as I suspect, there they cook it on a griddle or American grill, and probably what's happening there is that you're not having the grease flow away, and the grease is staying within the meat. So by the time it gets to the actual burger, then it starts coming out, and therefore, whereas here, as the meat drips, the meat is pulling together a bit.
Now, it also occurred to me with that last bite of the burger.
Good to the last drop.
The one thing that I'm used to, and have just sort of almost thought of as almost, not a cliche, but something that I grew up with, is assuming that the burger has to taste the same from the first bite, the last bite.
Good to the last drop.
Realizing because I got a whole whack of brisket with not an awful lot of burger in the last bite, and realized, and then realizing that, yes, because it sort of squirts out, you are getting different flavors and different tastes as you eat the burger, which is an interesting concept that, now that I think about it, I'm saying, that's very, very cool, that's very interesting. Whereas, and then saying, okay, so what was wrong with me with my prejudices, that's the word that I was looking for, God saying burgers got to be the same from beginning to end.
Good to the last drop.
Now, that's what I'm realizing. You're coming from burger or two burgers or making burgers that are just the complete opposite of everything. The opposite end of where my way of thinking about them is the sloppiness, the sauces, the sweetness and so on. I'm just, that's so not like my thinking that it's just that wild. It's fascinating seeing them come out so well where I'm just, these are combinations that I never would have thought of myself. Along the art line is where you grow up used to landscapes and figurative painting, and suddenly you see Rothko, and then having that sudden insight into, oh my god, I actually get it and understand it, where that whole background suddenly helped inform that, but it was just so opposite to it.
That's a different shift.
I would never ever in a million years think of making a burger like that, piling so many things on, trying to get me to order one of those. It's actually probably, thankfully, this thing's worked out that it is, because it is. Yeah, for me to order a burger like that, I would never in a million years.
No.
It is a certain thing, you're going to have to force feed me. I like this concept. I have been called rather sort of pig-headed and sort of set in my ways. Well, maybe I can start shifting slightly.
Thank you very much for listening to episode 93 of the Montreal Burger Report, where David Ferguson, the chef and owner of Le Jolly Fou, saved the evening as Zeke discovered he can eat sloppy burgers without fear. Where will Zeke and E. coli eat next? Who will they interview? And how many new burger joints are there in town? Find the answer to these and other questions next week in episode 94 of the Montreal Burger Report. Same burger time, same burger channel.
Holy nick of time.
Le Jolly Fou is located at 1840 Beaubien East. You're open Tuesday to Sunday until 10 o'clock at night, later on Fridays and Saturdays. Your phone number is 514 772-2175, and the website is jollyfoo.com. In a nutshell, the Montreal Burger Report is Magilla Gorilla.
Magilla Gorilla for sale.
Meets the film Diner.
Oh, Carol, seriously, it was an accident, I swear to God.
An accident? Your thing just got into a box of popcorn.
At Tokay.
Bonjour, mon nom est Normand Laprise, de restaurant Tokay à Montréal.
It is a radio show and podcast where Zeke and E. coli go out, have a couple of burgers, some beer, and talk about them and to the people who make them. There is a new episode available every Wednesday morning at montrealburgers.com and on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. If you would like to write to us, our email address is montrealburgers@gmail.com. The Montreal Burger Report is your source for the most in-depth and comprehensive coverage about hamburgers, cheeseburgers, both with and without bacon, in Montreal. This episode of the Montreal Burger Report was written and produced by Chris, Zeke, Hand. We'd graciously like to thank CKUT for their support, Johnny Hicks for the music, and you for listening.